are not just rhetoric, it's a fact. That, you know, I don't say all the things they say in a lot of other places. I deliberately don't. They say all kinds of things that have no basis in fact and reality, you know, but this is true. The Bible says, as you look into God's word, you are transformed. And the Greek word is the word metamorpho, from which we get the English word metamorphosis, which just means a change. And so as the word of God comes into your heart, through your eyes, through your ears, you know, an internal change does actually take place. So by the time you're leaving the service, you're at a higher level of glory than when you came in. That happens all the time. So it's not just something to say that is nice at the beginning of the service. And I believe the Holy Spirit had me say this so you can key your faith into it. You see, everything in this business works by faith. If you believe it, it works for you. If you don't believe it, it doesn't work for you. It's really as simple as that. You know, you got to believe. You know, the Bible says he said the word, he spoke with them as they were able to hear it. If he says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. He asked the rich young ruler, he said, you know, how readest thou? Not what readest thou. How readest thou? In other words, what does that scripture say to you? The letter is for everybody. The letter is what readest thou? But the spirit is how readest thou? How readest thou? And it is the measure to which you believe it that it will minister to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and mercies as we enter your word this evening. We enter in with humility. We pray that, Lord God, you will anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. We beseech you that you put the same unction that's upon my heart and my lips, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure, Lord God, to break yokes, to heal bodies, to cause men to become more conformed to your image. That, Lord God, they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. And help me to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, this is our school of perfection. We're teaching on Christian perfection because we're in the third day, during which Jesus said, you know, the church will be perfected. He said, today and tomorrow I cast out devils and do cures, the third day I'll be perfected. He wasn't talking about the 24-hour period days. He was talking prophetically about, you know, 1,000-year periods, because the Bible says one day was the Lord's, 1,000 years and 1,000 years, and one day. And it is in this third day, this 21st century, this third millennium from the birth of Christ. Christ was actually born about 0 BC. We're using a Gregorian calendar, you know, but the when the Bible says a day, it's not just talking about 24 hours. is a prophetic application to 1,000 years. So it is in this time, the scripture tells us that the church will be perfected. And then it lets us know what it means by perfection. There are many scriptures that speak about this. Is Ephesians chapter 4, which is our main scripture. It says God gave the fivefold ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, for the perfecting of the saints. And then in verse 15 it says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. You know, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having these promises daily, but let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, that is in the present continuous tense, holiness in the fear of God. And in Matthew 5:48, which we studied recently, it says, be perfect even as your Father is perfect. I mean, no wiggle room. No wiggle room for man's unbelief. Or you're saying that the scripture is not true. It doesn't give you any space to say, oh, well, you know, there's no. Be perfect even as your Father is perfect. And he's not going to, when you get to heaven, say here. And corroborates that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. It says, as he is, so are we. Not when we get to heaven, in this world. Sadly, you know, majority of the church has not believed this, at least up till now. They probably will believe when they see, you know, but then they will not be commended. Like Thomas was not commended. He was rebuked. He said, now you believe because you've seen. He said, blessed are those who did not see but believed. So join the group of those of us who are believing without seeing. And the seeing is just around the corner in Jesus' name. You know, and what is perfection? It's simply a spiritual condition in which the residual sin nature in the soul and body after we get born again are completely dominated and then cleansed and flushed out of our souls and bodies. It is not a utopia. That is, it doesn't mean, you know everything. It doesn't mean you can never sin again. No. It's the same condition Adam was created in the Garden of Eden. That's why he's called the first Adam. And the same condition Jesus was born because he was born of a virgin. And he's called the last Adam. So the two Adams give us a complete picture of what perfection is. You know, of course, we know Adam sinned, the first Adam. You know, the second Adam didn't sin, although the Bible says he was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. So the good news is that if you do sin after perfection, you can get it cleansed immediately. So you can maintain the condition of perfection. Perfection is wrought through, you know, like 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. We use the blood, the word, and the spirit to operate what we call the seven pillars of wisdom, which simply are the seven principles of the Christ life. The same principles Jesus used when he was here. Jesus himself, Solomon wrote about this prophetically. He said, wisdom hath, you know, builded a house. She's hewn out. But wisdom is Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, you know, Christ is the wisdom of God. So he was talking about, and Jesus said, upon this rock, which is revelation knowledge, I'll build my church. So when you put all the scriptures together, you get the clear understanding that, you know, we use the blood, the word, and the spirit, you know, to exercise ourselves in the fear of God, honesty and humility of heart, praying in the spirit with all kinds of prayer, you know, binding the devil, confessing God's word, meditating in God's word, practicing God's word, fasting and living a fasted life. And all of these things, you use the blood, the word, and the spirit. And as you practice all of these things, the Holy Spirit, through this operation, begins to dominate and then clean out the sin nature. You have to understand that when you get born again, the divine nature is injected into the spirit, not into the soul and not into the body. But what we're supposed to do is now to allow the new born again spirit to dominate the residual sin nature that is in the soul and body. That's what we mean. You know, I remember when I first got born again, you used to have this expression people used to say, you know, now with clear revelation, I now appreciate it better. You say, let your spirit dominate you. You know, let your spirit get ascendancy. You know, don't let the flesh dominate you. You know, but in reality, what's happening is that the divine nature that is here, you know, you have to release it in sufficient measure and with sufficient force to dominate the sin nature that is in the soul and in the body, even in the circumstances. That's what, you know, that's what Christianity is really all about. It's the dominion. That's why it's called kingdom. It's the dominion of God through your recreated, born-again spirit. So when all of it is out, that is perfection. And like I said, you maintain it, and then you grow into maturity in it, which is the purpose. And then you, with that maturity, God can then trust you. And the key word there is the word trust, with the spirit without measure. The spirit without measure is so powerful that it cannot be entrusted to a man who has, who's the sin nature still has whole sway. He will become a tyrant. He will destroy too many things. And you see that in the ministry of Jesus. You know, Jesus was so controlled. You know, he had matured. You know, incidentally, Jesus didn't get spiritual measure when he was 12. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't have handled it then. But God says he grew in wisdom and in stature. Somebody is asking, how can God grow? Well, you have to understand that when he was here, even though he was God stripped of his divine attributes temporarily for those 33 years. While he was here, he was not omnipotent, he was not omniscient, he was not omnipresent. So he operated only as a man, but with the same Holy Spirit. But now, he was not given the Spirit without measure after he was 30 years old. When he had matured, he had been tempted, he had overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life on a consistent basis. Like I was teaching recently when I was talking about, you know, obeying your conscience. You know, there's continuous assessment in this Christianity. God's always assessing your heart. Jesus had 100%. All constantly. Give the Lord a super clap offering. For 33 years, he never once, not once, did he ever miss it. You know, of course, he had an advantage because he never had a sin nature in him. So that was an advantage. You know, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But then he gave us his blood, so it makes us quits. In other words, everything Jesus did, you and I can do using the blood. You know, so we too can gradually get up our record to 100% and maintain it. We don't start with 100%, but we can get there. Hallelujah. And so you see him, you know, these people, they actually, they dishonored him. They snubbed him, the Samaritans. He, you know, because he was prepared to go to Jerusalem, but he wanted to spend a night in their house, in their village. And James and John, with righteous indignation, knowing, don't forget that, you know, at the time James and John said those things, there was no First John, there was no First Corinthians, there was no, you know, you have to understand that all they knew was the Old Testament scriptures. So they went to the scripture and brought out scripture, like Elisha dealt and sent fire and finished those guys. So he said, let's teach these Samaritans. Incidentally, they are half Jews anyway. So let's teach them a lesson they will never forget. Lord, will thou? And they meant it too. And they could have done it. The power to do it was there. Or the spirit without measure was there. But you see, that shows the man that is controlled, you know, love and temperance. Jesus said, you don't understand what spirit you're made of. You're not here to destroy men. You're supposed to help them. He said, don't worry, we'll stay in another village. You know? And that's why God can trust us with it. Watch this. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. One God gives it, he doesn't take it back. I'm talking about the one you inherit, not the borrowed. The borrowed one, he can take it back. Because you never got it anyway. It was given to you as a gift. But the one that is inherited, once it's given, it's not taken away. Of course, it has to be maintained through prayer and all of that, but it's never taken away. You know, so God's not going to have somebody, you know, with spirit out measure running like a loose cannon. I wanted to mention somebody's name, but I won't. you know, everybody else, he'd have killed half the planet. Amen. So, is that spirit out measure that we will use now to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all tribes, tongues, and kindreds, make disciples in every nation, and give a befitting close to this dispensation. I heard that from E.W. Kenyon many years ago. We're not going to go here in a whimper out. As if, oh God, the devil has almost finished us. Then Jesus just comes, just before the devil finishes us, just come and rescue us. That's the mentality most Christians have. Most Christians today are praying for the rapture because they are afraid of the perils of the end time. And they do not have the spiritual power to be able to deal with it. So they're so, you know, oh God, Jesus, please come. You know, things are getting, you know, worse on the earth and all of that. They want Jesus to come and rescue us from the forces of the Antichrist, of the spirit of Antichrist, not here yet, but the spirit of the Antichrist is certainly here, you know, that are pressurizing the church, you know, and say, don't worry, one day Jesus will come. That's a defeatist mentality. We're not supposed to be hanging on until Jesus comes. You know what we're supposed to do? Put all enemies under our feet. Hallelujah. You have to have a positive, victorious attitude. Psalm 110, it says, send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule, not beg. Rule in the midst of thine enemies. We dominate. We preach the gospel to all tribes, tongues, and kindreds, and then make disciples in every nation. When we say disciples, they're not just talking about people who get born again, but talking about people who get born again and become like Peter, James, the 12 apostles, and the 70. In every tribe, there will not be a witness to their own people. Then and only then will the end come. The Bible says so. Matthew 24, 14. So that's why we're doing these classes. And we're studying the ministry of Jesus. In our last lesson, we stopped in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus was teaching about fasting. And I'm not going to go through all of that all over again, but I'll just quickly summarize. God, to grow into these things we're talking about, fasting, regular fasting, and living a fasted life is indispensable. Like we say in the university, it's a compulsory course. If you fail it, you cannot graduate in the school of perfection. It's not going to happen. Some people don't fail it, Pastor, Prof. You know what they do? They just don't go for the class. Yeah. I remember when we were in university, you know, the guy didn't fail. He just didn't show up. You know, there are people like that. You know, we call them no future ambition. When all of us get up in the morning and we're going to lectures and all of that, the guy is still sleeping. We come back at lunch, he's just waking up. We had boys like that in the university. Yes. Then he would say, hey, boys, what's happening? He say, you know, I would say, you know, he would say it in Yoruba. You know, Shoshe Henjini, he would say, you know, he's just waking up. He say, yes. He said, don't let me do any job for me, note. In other words, you know, I'm a little bit tired. Please give me your notes so I can copy. There were guys like that in university. I mean, that was okay once in a while, occasionally, you know. But if you do that all the time, you are not going to graduate. There are Christians like that. I'm probably going to talk about this on Sunday. I actually intend to. You know, Daddy Brown sent something to Pastor Andrew. And Pastor Andrew posted it on the choir platform or WhatsApp. You know, I happen to look at all the, maybe you don't know, so I see everything you post, the good and the bad and the ugly. But we are very strict in this church. I don't let people post the ugly. If you post the ugly, you will get immediate reaction. And if you stand with it, we will remove you. You know, amen. The people didn't say amen to that. Yes, we will. You know, can't have people posting dirty things on, you know. So anyway, it was very good, you know. Tips on not coming late to church. So I immediately posted it to the pastors and said they should send it to everybody, which I believe they did, you know. But I will still talk about it again on Sunday. I don't want any NFAs in Scripture Pasture. I'm talking about Christians that have no future ambition, you know. You know, you find some people, it's their habit. They come to church late on Sundays. Then sometimes they don't even show up at all. And now because people have the excuse of online, they just use online as a cop-out. They switch the thing on, but they're not watching it. He's going to the kitchen. He's eating a bar. He's talking to his family. He's talking to his friends. He's on the phone and all of that. Hey, where have they reached the service? Amen. I just read your mail. You will not graduate if you don't change. Put some mercy there. If you can't do that. It's so it is in the spiritual, natural, so it is in natural. People who don't attend classes regularly, they don't do their tutorials, do their homework. You know, by the grace and the mercy of God, when I was in university, I had a first class. But it was because I was more brilliant than anybody else. You know, people make that mistake. You see, by the time, back in those days, and I'm sure it's still true today to some degree, you know, by the time you enter UI through prelim, you have to be good. If you don't do well, it's because many times you didn't put in the necessary effort. The people who have first class don't have two heads. They are not, sometimes, they're not more brilliant than anybody else. You know, it was, I think it was Albert Einstein who said that. And so all the, and Robert, Richard Feynman, most of you don't know Richard Feynman because you're not physicists. He had a Nobel Prize, you know, the theory of quantum electrodynamics. He said, I'm not. He said, the only difference between me and is I just spend more time on the problem. Albert Einstein said that. Richard Feynman said that. You know, and I discovered that in practice. You know, my first year and prelim, I was a little bit playful. I went to class. But you know, I spent all the time going to watch movies, you know. In those days, there was this, KS, I just opened, you know. We'll go to KS, we'll go out, you know, we'll be playing, me and my friend, we're playing rock music and guitar until 1 a.m. in the morning. You know, we're just kids, 17, 16, 17 years old, you know, and just enjoying ourselves. Then I had a reference. Talk about a wake-up call. I had 32 in analysis, maths department. I have never failed before. Hey! I woke up. You know, these my friends, they were mixed race. Their mom was white. Their father was Nigerian. You know, quite a number of my friends were like that. You know, some of their mom was Irish, Nigerian. And we all used to play together. So, well, I woke up. It wasn't God, but I guess it was God through my conscience. I said, these boys, if they fail, they're going to London. Yes. They're going to England. Nobody will know. He said, but if you fail, you are here. You better wake up. Their parents would just send them. And it was the truth. So I came back in part two with a completely different mindset. It was God. I did that reference. When I did the reference, I got 72. So it wasn't as if I didn't know the thing. It was because I was just not. I just did apply myself. You know, that this year when I came, I made a vow. Anything I'm taught, I read it that day. And it's not much. You know, maybe just about, you know, 4, 5, 6 pages. You know, maybe you have 3, 4 courses. You know, the timetable was not that, you know. You know, but I just made sure, you know, I get back in the evening. You know, this same UIO, you know, I will lock my door. I'll put my headphones on. I will be listening to either Handel or Beethoven, or not Fela, and not Bob Marley. I had those ones too, but I didn't listen to them. I'm telling you what I did. Yeah, I'm talking about being serious, and the same thing applies spiritually. I didn't listen to all this rubbish, you know. I believe because classical music, there's no talking, so it doesn't affect my concentration. And I discovered that somehow it helped you because of the spirit behind the thing.
Now I'm a Christian, I understand that. Then I didn't understand. But, you know, so I'll put on my headphones. And my friends will come, you know, maybe around 7:38. Back, 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 back. Olubi, what's happening? I won't answer them. I won't answer anybody. I won't answer nobody. Then, usually I'll study, say, from about, I go to the cafe, eat, come back, you know, it's 6:30. I usually study about 10, 11, 10, 10:30. When I finish the work for that day, I'll not open the door. I'll say, boys, what's happening? So, and that's what I did, part two, part three, you know. I never missed a tutorial. I did, except, God forbid, when I was sick or something like that. You know, never missed a class. Everything, I didn't wait until exam. Every day. I made each day pay. So I learned those secrets, you know, and then I just, you know. So getting a first class wasn't that difficult because it just requires consistency. I make sure I get 70 in every subject, and that was not too difficult, you know. So we were able to do it. But it wasn't because I was more brilliant than anybody else. It's just a question of applying a certain principles. I remember that when my results came out, and this is a true story. You know, some of my friends, well, we used to go out and they say, you, this boy, you tricked us. And then, so all the time we were going, that's what you want. So I was there laughing. You know, I said, well, you know, we all have to be wise. Amen. Christianity is the same way. Come late to church consistently. What I teach you today, read it today. We don't usually do more than two or three verses. Go back home, look at it. Search the scriptures if these things be so. When God sees that level of commitment and dedication, there is a certain grace and mercy that will come. And it will help you grow. Not this one where, you know, you don't even know what the pastor is saying. Half the time you're sleeping. You're not even listening. You're not paying attention. Hello? And you're also thinking, when will this man stop? You know, I want to go home and eat. You know, there are people like that, that's what's in their mind on Sundays. As the word is going forth, change! If you want a spiritual first class. And this church is designed for spiritual first class. We're not here for pass. We're not here for 2-2. We're not here for 2-1. We're here for spiritual. Everybody say spiritual first class. Give the Lord a clap offering. All right. So fasting and praying is compulsory. You can't do it with it. Now, so fasting is staying away from food, water, and other, you know, fluids, you know, so you can give more time and more spiritual energy and power to prayer. Fasted life is fasting every day, literally. You know, that's what I've been doing it for 40 years. So I know it works, you know. They do it now, they call it intermittent fasting, you know. You know, even when on days when I, like today, for example, I think I had something early in the morning today. Yet throughout yesterday, I didn't eat. And I think this morning, I took a little bit of a cereal, just tiny, you know, just because I felt I needed some strength. That's all, you know. And since then till now, I've not eaten. You know, I'm going to eat when I get home this evening. I do that all the time. And I'm not dead. I'm not dead. It can be done. The question is, what is important to you? I like what Jesus asked those boys. What seekest thou? What are you seeking in this thing? Are you just seeking bread and fish? Some are seeking a wife. I've married a wife. Some are seeking a piece of land. Some are seeking, yes! Some are seeking 5 yoke of oxen. That's why they're in Christianity. Yeah? So God can give me breakthrough and God can bless me. Pastor Olubi, prophetic. You know? Say, because born again, because we are blessed. God has also. There was one pastor who told me that many years ago. I laughed my head off. You know, went for a conference in London. He drove me. Nice guy. You know? And, you know, it was me and Noel Woodruff who were preaching in that meeting in London. This was many, many years ago. So we're talking all this prophetic and end time. So, at the end of the meeting, the Pastor Wiley, were you with me? The pastor said to me, he said, Pastor Jasuto, he was saying in Yoruba, he said, Pastor, let's tell the truth. He said, the only people who understood what you were saying was you and Woodruff. He said, the rest of us, we had no clue what you were talking. He said, this thing is so complex, you know. He said, well, isn't it that your people just get born again? Then they should get blessed. Then they go to heaven. It's simple like that. All this one you are saying is not necessary. I said, no, it's not. But if you settle for that kind of Christianity, you're right, you may not even go to heaven. You know why? There are going to be so many challenges that are going to come your way. And because you're not properly equipped, you know, you may not be able to get through them. And you may, out of frustration and anger with God, backslide. It happens to a lot of people. You know, or if you do go to heaven, it's so as by fire. In other words, you die prematurely. Then God has to snatch you out of the fire. You don't want all those kind of borderline cases. Are you listening to me? You want to take this stuff seriously. Serious stuff. Are you listening to me? If you're still on my side, give the Lord a wave offering. Hallelujah. All right. So that's why we have to fast. Now, let's go into business of the day. I'm just going to do two verses today, you know, because they deal with a very nice topic, Prof. Pastor G, prosperity. I know we like that. I said, they're going to be happy with me today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not God, but God. All right. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Everybody scream it. Well, we're going to talk about that today. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to stop there. Jesus is, this, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, you know, dealt with a lot of aspects of our Christian lives. You know, the first thing was all the Beatitudes, you know, which we dealt with in chapter 5. Then now in chapter 6, you know, it begins to, you know, spoke, you know, about the Lord's Prayer, fasting, attitudes. We've dealt with all of that. Now, he now begins to talk about money. He said, don't lay up treasures here on earth. You know, when you read some of these scriptures, that's why what I said at the beginning, how readest thou? Not just what. What is the what the letter says. How is what spirit, what do you understand by what he's saying? When you read scriptures like this, you know, this is where people, you know, have distorted the Bible and misinterpreted the Bible. To, you know, the insinuation is, don't have money here. Don't lay up treasure for yourself on the earth. Jesus said so. You've heard about as poor as a church mouse. So, this is, you know, tradition. When the first apostles died, they all died within the first 100, and their initial disciples, people like Polycarp and some of the great saints, you know, when all that generation died, the correct truth of the Bible died with them. It was there, but it was letter, it was in Greek, it was in Hebrew, it was locked in the monasteries. So what people now knew as the word of God was what the priests where the Roman Catholic Church that came up about 300 AD, you know, Constantine the emperor became a Christian. He had a real experience, but not too much growth, not too much knowledge. So many of they now make Christianity the state religion. So all the persecution stopped. So many of the people who now came into the priest were not even born again. So they will read scriptures like this. And without revelation knowledge, without proper understanding, they will come to the erroneous conclusion that Jesus said, you shouldn't be rich on the earth. He said, it's there. It's black and white. Lay not up. That's what he said. So what does he really mean? They says, you know, he said, but lay it up in heaven. Now, what does that mean? You know, I'm going to explain it to us as we go. Now, what the Lord meant was this. Don't put your confidence or your trust in the treasures or the material, the money and the material possessions that you have on the earth. You know why? They're temporal. Moth and rust. In those days, you know, it's a little bit different now, but the principle is still the same. In those days, the rich people had gold, they had silver, they had material things like cloths, you know, and things like that, which were of great value. So when they became rich, they used to have storehouses, you know, where they would, you know, keep such things. Now, those things, you know, they could decay. They can rust, you know. Even that's why you have different kinds of gold. You've got 9-carat gold, you know, which has more impurities. You know, you have 18-carat gold, which has less impurities. You have 24-carat gold, which has less impurities, you know. And of course, silver. You've heard about silver dross. You know, so silver and gold can decay over time. You know, material things, like if you had a barn that was full of wheat, and, you know, this was what rich men had in those days. Animals, you know. Remember Job. Job's wealth disappeared overnight. Overnight. He was the richest man in the East back in those days, you know. You know, the devil went to God and said, you know, does Job serve you for any, you know, he's not serving you for all this because you put a hedge around him. He said, you know, give me 24 hours. and really in 24 hours, because in those days, their wealth was counted by their animals, you know, that they had, you know, sheep, camels, you know, and he was a great man. He was very rich, you know, and all these things. What Jesus is saying is this. Don't put your confidence and trust in anything you have materially or financially. It can disappear overnight. In those days, it was rust and all of that. Today, we know how a rich man, you know, you can be the richest man in the world today because of the share price of your company. And God forbid, some disaster happens, the share price plummets, you know, and overnight, you become bankrupt. Oh, it's happened. You know, many of us, because we were not born then, and some of us have not studied our history, you need to go and read this. If you're doing accounts, go and find out about the 1929 crash, stock market crash. People committed suicide. Because you're a millionaire today, and tomorrow, not only do you lose your wealth, you are in debt. Not just bankrupt, you are in debt because of reversal of stock, of the stock market. And it's still happening today. We had this, not as severe as 1929, in 2008, when Obama just became president. So much so that America did what they don't normally do. The American government had to put cash into private companies like General Motors and Ford so that they wouldn't go down. Thank God they did it. Give President Obama a clap offering. Amen. It was one of the greatest things God used him to do. You know, and they still talk about it. You know, very few presidents. That thing, if it wasn't God and we are praying for him, can you imagine starting your presidency like that? He had just been elected. And they were facing this financial, you know, terrible financial situation. You know? So, you know, that's the reality of this life. Don't put your trust. Not you shouldn't have them. As he told the rich young ruler, you know, when he said, go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. He thought he was trying to make him poor. He didn't know it was trying to make him 100 times richer. We'll talk about that in a minute. You know, he went away sad because he had great possessions. So when he left, Peter now said, Lord, what's going to happen to us? We've left everything because of you. And Jesus said, how difficult is this for them that trust? That's the key word. Not have. See, I can have something and not trust in it. By the grace of God, my wife and I are blessed a little bit, you know. I have some things, but I don't trust in them. Because I'm very aware of this principle. That anything can happen. But you see, because my trust is not in them, but in the person that supplied it. If anything happens to them, I can always go back to him and they will be replaced. So my trust is never in things. That's the lesson here. Not that it is wrong to have. It's not wrong to be rich. In fact, the New Testament tells us that Jesus became poor that we might be rich. It goes on to say, that's 2 Corinthians 8:9. And in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, having all sufficiency in all things to abound to every good work. You know, so prosperity, material, financial prosperity is the will of God. And before I finish tonight, you're going to see that it's not only is it the will of God, it's the perfect will of God. You can't say amen, say omen. And not only is it the perfect will of God, God wants us to be richer than anybody on the earth. Now, we're not there yet because of this lack of proper spiritual growth. You know, the little God has given us has gone to our head already. You know? Yes, it's the truth. You know? But we should be richer than all the men on the earth. He said it this way. Didn't use that expression. But the spirit is the same. You'll be head and not tail. Above only. I like that word only. You know, you never come down. Give the Lord a clap off, right? Ah, you should be happy. I'm preaching prosperity. Yeah. He didn't say above. He said above only and not beneath. Now, look at financially speaking, not talking spiritual. Financially speaking, the church is not above only. And we are not the richest institution on the earth as at today. But it will change. Correction, it is changing. And when I finish, you will understand why we are not as rich as we should be. Because financial prosperity in the scriptures is tied to spiritual prosperity. Now that connection, that nexus, has been ignored by the majority of the church. People don't tie financial prosperity to spiritual prosperity. They think financial prosperity stands on its own. You know, if you have big good business and all of that. And it's true. Yeah, people are not born again, or people who are even born again. And they're not very spiritual. And yet, they have some significant amount of financial resources. So people come to the erroneous conclusion, well, after all, Mr. X, you know, after all, God has blessed them. God bless me too. You know, I don't have to become a super saint for God to bless me. But, you know, there's a certain level you will never go above if you don't become a super saint. Hello? So, the Lord Jesus says, lay up your treasures in heaven. Now, let's define that. What does he mean by in heaven? Again, religious tradition down through the years, we say, well, when you get to heaven, you're going to have a nice mansion, you're going to have a big house, you know, so, you know, everything just do on earth, just do it here, so that they'll be keeping all your, so when you get to heaven now, you're going to have this big mansion. In the Father's house, there are many mansions, you know. Which is, that's true. Literally, it's true. But that's not only what he was talking about. What he was talking about includes that, but that's not what he's talking about. Every Christian has an account in heaven. When you give and you obey the laws of prosperity, which very simply are, you should give tithes and offerings on a regular basis. And when you do that as the seed, the Bible says, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So when you do that, then you water the seed by praying and walking in the Spirit, you know, which helps your spiritual prosperity, you know, causes the character of God to be to dominate your mind, your will, your emotions, you know, your circumstances and everything, you know, and then you now reap. And this is the area where the church has not emphasized as they should have. You know, most people quote Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake together, and run over, will men give to your bosom. That's one level of prosperity. That's what I call transfer of wealth. The men can only give to you what they have. But there's another level of prosperity, which is the one I want to talk about and emphasize now, which is creation of wealth. You're not now waiting for someone to come and give to you. You are going to create wealth by two things, wisdom and ability. That treasure he's talking about here is the treasure of the wisdom of God. So whenever you give, a deposit is made in your heavenly account. Not a deposit of naira or dollars, a deposit of wisdom, a deposit of ability that will enable you, that you can draw on. Just like you draw from your natural bank account. Your natural bank account, you go and draw, you know, maybe you have 10 million there, you know. So you can go there and write a check, you know, or do online transfer and take, oh, send, you know, take 5 million out, you know, so you can draw on it. But in spirit, what you're doing is you're making a deposit of wisdom. You're making a deposit of power in the heavenly places. Then when you have need in this earth, you can draw on some of that wisdom. You can draw on some of that ability and power to create the wealth or the material thing that you need. That is why a very popular scripture, probably the most popular scripture in the faith circles in Nigeria, and this specialized, is called Philippians 419. And 419 is an acronym in Nigeria for, you know, advanced free fraud. And so I remember many years ago, about 20 something years ago, I went to preach in Lagos. So I didn't know that, you know, I'm a bad old boy. You know, so I just said, oh, Philippians 419, everybody just shouted 419. I laughed my head off. You know, he says, God will supply all your need according to his where? Riches. Where are they? In glory. But I'm here on the earth. I don't need the riches in glory. I need them here on earth. Yeah. They are stored in glory. Then, I'm going to show you how in a minute, you can then draw on it and make it create the wealth or the material thing that you need here. So that's where your heart will be. Because that's where your treasure is. Your treasure will not be in your physical bank account here on earth. I know people find this difficult to believe. You know, I know my wife is watching online now. You know, I know. You know, there are times when my bank account goes to 10,000 naira. People say, ah, Pastor, how can? How can? Oh, yeah. You know, I have more than one account. As I got, you know, if I said, well, I got maybe 1,000, 2,000. Ah! Hey, oh, Pastor. It's true. You know, it doesn't bother me. You know why? That's not my supply. That same account has 1,000 now. As I pray and I walk in the Spirit, you know, with maybe in 2-3 days' time, there can be 500,000 there. And then when it comes, and I get an instruction, do this, do that, do that, do that. Then before you know it, it goes back to 1,000. So you have to believe God all over again. You know why? It stops you from trusting in things. It stops you from having confidence in money. Your confidence now is in the God who supplies the money. And the Bible says so. Somewhere in Proverbs, you can find scripture for me. It says that, you know, when riches increase, it says, set not your heart upon them. It says, because they will fly away like a bird to the heaven. Somewhere in Proverbs. You know? Anyway, you know? And you know that's what human beings do. They set their heart, especially Jebu people, with due apologies to my wife. You know? I'm only joking. I'm cracking. I'm pulling their leg. You know? Thank you. Will thou not set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. The verse before or verse after, where it says, when riches increase. Thank you. Psalm 62 verse 10. Thank you, Prof. Psalm 62 verse 10. No. Pray for the guys up there. Psalm. Only David. Okay. Trust not in oppression. Now become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, don't your neighbor say your riches will increase. But set not your heart upon them. That's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was not saying that you will not have money. This same Jesus said that he give, you know, you good measure pressed down, shaken together. You know, Jesus said we wouldn't do it tonight. You know, he taught that we should prosper. He said, but don't put your heart in it. Now, it's a very difficult thing for the carnal man to do. The carnal man, you know, just like to see the money there. You know, Pastor Wiley is also from Egypt. You know, they just be looking at it there. Anyway, it pains them to take anything out. You want to be looking at the thing. So every time you go and check that balance, you see, praise God, praise God. You know, you become very happy because, and then you see him walking with a swagger. You know why? He knows he has something. Don't be like that. Don't put your trust. Set not your heart. They will increase if you're walking with God. In fact, like I explained, this what I discovered in my own experience is that you have ebbs and flows. The time, money will come in. You know. But usually there are always things God wants you to do. And if you obey God, you go back. Then you have to trust God again. So with that exercise, what it does is that it causes your heart to always be trusting in God. Your treasure will always be in heaven, not here. That's how. So, we have the riches in glory are the riches of wisdom, you know, and ability. Let's look at them one by one. I'm going to first of all deal with wisdom because wisdom is the principal thing. I discovered this scripture many years ago. You know, because I read my Bible every day, so I read the book of Proverbs. I said, I hardly heard anybody preach about it or emphasize it. You know what you need is not really money, it's wisdom. Wisdom will bring money. But if you have money and you don't have wisdom, the money will get depleted. Look at Philippians chapter 4, and it's not 19. We'll see 19 too. We're talking about prosperity. We're talking about treasures in heaven. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse. Lord have mercy. Where am I? Yeah. Okay. Look at verse 19. Before I get to verse 19. Yes. It's verse 17 I want. Let's read from verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also. I didn't hear you. That in the beginning of the gospel, That's when he started preaching to them, when he started his missionary work, you know, his apostolic work. When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. That communication is not talk, it's money. You know, communicated just means, is the Greek word koinonia, shared. So there was no church that was giving to me. That's why the Bible says, let me just say this on the side, you know, you should communicate with your pastor. Communicate. It's not talk. Pastor, I love you. Pastor, you know, God bless you. Am I going to eat? God bless you. I say communicate. Communicate. You know, he says, he that is taught in the word ought to communicate. Everyone say communicate. Nigerians understand that. You know, God, to him that teacheth in all, not give. Give. Talking about giving. I'm going to come back to scripture. Quickly, everybody go to Galatians 6, 7. Quick. Cut to Galatians 6, 7 and cut back. Galatians 6, 7. And I want to see it in the Galatians, 6, 8. Is it 6, 8 or 6, 6? No, 6, 6. 6, 6. Yeah. Let him that is taught in the word. So the communication he's talking about is not talking. He's not saying, hello, Paul. He says, let him that is taught the word communicate. Now give it to me in the Amplified. Amplified Bible. Let him who receives. Everybody, I want you to read this scripture. Open your mouth and say it so it will hit your heart. Let him who receives instruction in the word. How many people are getting instruction in the word from me tonight? Am I communicating? I'll let you. Tonight you must communicate. And it's not, hello, pastor. God bless you, pastor. That's not what he's talking about. You know, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher. Doing what? Contributing to his support. He's talking about money. So to communicate is not talk. You know, we like that word. Ah, God bless you, pastor. Ah, in fact, that message, I was really blessed. Where is the communication? And on a serious note, if you don't communicate, you cut off a blessing. That's why I said you will reap corruption. So if you sow to the Spirit by giving to your teacher or to your pastor, you reap everlasting life that will bring light. Then you can actually fully prosper, you know, benefit from the message. Most Christians don't. I have developed a habit. I do this even on the internet and all that. If I hear a message and it blesses me, I go and look for their website. Even if it's $10, I go and give something. I am instructed to. Whenever you're blessed, you should give something. I know this message has been distorted. I know it has been misused. But you don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. It's still true. You need to communicate. You know, then you will get the full measure of the blessing, because you will reap everlasting life. Now, it's a measure of eternal life, which will bring light, will be ministered unto you, and it will give revelation to your mind. Whereas you can hear the thing and not prosper from it, because you did not communicate. How many people are going to communicate tonight? I will be checking the offering. Like, you know, Jesus will go, you know, I know we don't have physical offering, you know, but I have ways of checking. Trust me. So we will help people communicate tonight. I will know them. Those who didn't communicate tonight, I will also know them. I'm only joking. Praise the Lord. You know, so now let's go back to Philippians 4, verse 15. I told you would like today's message. I don't know if they like the communicate part, but. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, you now understand what he meant, with me concerning giving and receiving. It's even there in that verse. But ye only, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now watch this, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but that fruit may abound to what? Your account. Everybody say you have an account. Every Christian has an account in heaven. Some people's account is heavy. Some people's account is low. Depends on how you are giving. Again, I know these messages have been distorted and they've been misused, but we'll not throw away the baby with the bathwater. Yes, there is. That's why Jesus said, put your treasure in heaven. You have an account in heaven that fruit may abound to your... Every time they gave to Paul, give and it shall be given unto you, there was a deposit in their heavenly account. And it was a deposit, I'm going to show you now, of wisdom and ability, not cash. But wisdom and ability that can be translated to cash when you need it here on the earth. Are you listening to me? And that is where your heart will be, where your treasure is. Your heart will not be in the things that you have. Those ones that can come and go. But the wisdom in heaven, nothing can. Thieves don't go there. No rust. You know, it's always there. And if even if everything around here, you know, something goes wrong with it, I can always draw on that wisdom, draw on that ability, and create a new one. Is it clear? They're looking at me funny. Well, if I communicate. Praise the Lord. I like that. I'm going to start using it. Where is it communicate? It's a scripture pastor. Everybody will understand. Yeah. You know, Nigeria, we have special vocabulary. Only Nigerians understand it. When they say, have they settled you? You say, no other nation on the earth has that. Short is settled. We understand it. You know. We have another one. You know, have you seen a lot? I don't see a lot. Oh, God, I don't see a lot. Then we now have a third one. They don't communicate. Happy weekend, sir. They don't communicate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And so, let's look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches where... Where are the riches? In glory. They're not here on earth. They're in heaven. But what are these riches? Look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 3. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3. Look at it. Everybody read it with me. In whom I hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. So this riches are riches of wisdom and knowledge. But they are stored in heaven. The second part of the prosperity. Lord help me. Okay, before I go to the second part, look at Proverbs chapter 8. Am I helping anybody here? Hey, you want prosperity message? I'm preaching prosperity message. Be happy now. Praise the Lord. This is a real prosperity message. Okay, Proverbs chapter 8, and look at verses 10 through 12. I can't, it was many, many years ago, you know, I think I first got the hint from E.W. Kenyon. Then I went to read the scripture myself. I was amazed about how detailed and deep the scripture is. And what further amazed me was that it was not emphasized. When people preach prosperity, they don't say this. All they say is give and it shall be given unto you. You know, and you know, God will bless you. Which is true. But how does God bless you? This is how. Talking about the wisdom of God. You know, let's read. I'm not going to read everything. You know, I'll read verse 1. Then I will jump to verse 10. Let's just read verse 1 so we know who's talking. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. So it's wisdom that is talking now. Now, who is the wisdom of God? It's Jesus. The Bible says Christ is the wisdom of God. Are you listening to me? Now, look at what it says, verse 10. There's a lot of things between that, but this, you keep it contextual about prosperity. Receive my instruction, not silver. Knowledge,
rather than choice gold. Wow! For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way and the fraud mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all judges of the earth. I love them that love me and those that seek me early. The Hebrew says diligently. It also includes getting up early in the morning. You know, seek me early shall find me. That's a hint there of why people are not getting wisdom. They don't seek early. Hello? They eat eba in the morning. You know, riches and honor are with me. So you see, that's how God supplies my needs according to riches and glory. The riches, they're with wisdom. If I have wisdom, I get the riches. I will say, riches and honor are with me. Yeah. Durable riches. It means that there are some riches that are not durable. There are some riches that when you get, you know, they can quickly, you know, go away. But this one will last. Everyone say, durable riches and righteousness. See how it ties it. This one, you cannot get it by doing 419. This type of prosperity, this wisdom will not be given to those who are not walking in righteousness. I'm not talking about right standing alone. I'm talking about right standing and right doing. Am I talking to anybody here? All this wayo, you know, that we are used to, you know, you do like this, you know, just to make money. It's not going to work here. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. My revenue. So it means that there is something wisdom gives you. He said, it's even better than gold. He said, it is better than choice silver. I, wisdom, lead in the way of righteousness. He repeats that righteousness thing. I have a message I preached many years ago, riches and righteousness. You can't go far. That's why we haven't seen a high level of riches in the church. People want riches, but they don't want the righteousness that goes with it. It's not going to work. Riches, where are you? He says, I lay in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment that I may cause those that love me to inherit what? Substance. And I will do what? Fill your treasures. So don't put your trust on the treasures on the earth. Put it in the wisdom of God in the heavens, and every time if this one on the earth depletes, he will fill it again. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah, this is the real thing, folks. This is the real thing. Okay. Now, the other aspect of wisdom is power. It's the Greek word dunamis, you know. It just really means ability. It includes skill. It includes strength. It includes, you know-how. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. Am I helping anybody here? Oh, glory to God. I'm happy. This prosperity message. You know, people should be happy. you know the problem with people, Pastor Wally? You know, they like to hear the blessing. They don't want to hear the conditions. So when you put the condition, you know, riches and righteousness, you know, the carnal mind, the sin nature in the mind is looking for a way of getting the blessing of God without fulfilling the condition. So when people like me, you know, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is me, begin to, you know, highlight the conditions, you find they don't say amen. They only say amen when I say, God, we bless you. They say amen. They say, God, if you are righteous. But you can't get this level of prosperity without righteousness. In fact,
Righteousness is the way that you can access the, because it's not here, it's in the heavenlies. The only way you can bring it down from the heavenlies is prayer, walking in the spirit, and right, which is automatically goes to righteousness. If you don't pray, you cannot translate the wisdom that is in there. It's yours, it's your account. But you can't access that account except by praying in tongues, you know, fasting, you know, walking in righteousness. Otherwise, the money will just be there, dormant in heaven. It's there. But you cannot get that wisdom. You cannot get that ability if you don't pray. So it is locked. That's why so many Christians here are dying of starvation. Because their wisdom is locked. Their treasure is there. But it's locked there because their heart is in the one here. Instead of their heart being there. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. Okay. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Lovely scripture. You know, people quote the scripture. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he. I didn't hear you. Let's read it again together. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he. It is not you. It is not your business. It is he that giveth the power to do what? Get wealth. So I want to focus. I've focused on wisdom. Now let's focus on power. It means ability. The skill. The strength. Good health. The know-how. You can summarize it on the word skill. To be able to create things, to do things that will create wealth. It's only God who gives it to. It is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. So when you're talking about prosperity, you're talking about two things. You're talking about wisdom, and you're talking about power. To create wealth. Not just the one that people give to you. There are two levels of prosperity in the church. Two broad levels. The first one is basic prosperity, having food and raiment. The Bible says so. Say, so having food and let us be content. You know? And God does that, you know, to his children. He loves us, you know, just like his children. Make sure you have food on your table, you know. And that's is a good starting point. But that's not where God is taking us. God wants us to have more than food and raiment. He wants us to abound unto every good work. He says so, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. He says, having all sufficiency in all things. You don't understand what that scripture means. I don't know anybody on earth that has that, including Elon Musk as well as Bill Gates. If they start doing it, they'll be broke in a week. Having all, give it to me. God is able. Thank you. Thank you for the Amplified. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing. Read it if you can believe it. This is what the Bible, exceeding grace and precious promises. Every favor and to come to you in short supply. So that you may sometimes and under favorable circumstances. And whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Try it, you'll be broke in a week. I don't know anybody on earth who has that yet in its fullness. What? No wonder he said, Pastor Bay is exceeding great and precious promises. This is great. This is great. You don't believe. Let's read it again. You know, it boggles the human mind. God is able. Sometimes we say, God is able. It's not Manu, it's God. To make all grace, every favor, an earthly blessing, come to you a little bit. So that you may sometimes, and under all circumstances, depression, inflation, high oil prices, Russia-Ukraine war, it doesn't affect you. You know why? Your supply line is not on earth. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. Your supply line is in heaven. So the conditions on the earth, the oppression, the depression, inflation, oppression, war situation, there is no something. It's irrespective of the circumstances. Pastor G, under all circumstances, and whatever the need be, self-sufficient. You don't have to go out to the world to go and start begging them. World Bank, please give us money. America, give us money. Russia, Putin, we beg you, please supply the oil. That day is gone. You see, that's the church they will respect. That is the church that they will fear. Be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require, watch this, no aid or support. Furnished in abundance for every good work. And charitable donation. It means everybody comes to ask for something, you can give them. You know, I help people to the glory of God. But I have limited resources. It's not everything. I'm being honest. I cannot. If I was to give to everybody who asks me, I won't even have enough to do the things I need to do. So I do give as led by the Spirit, you know. But you know, you can get so rich where there is nobody who asks you for something, you can't give them something. We're not there yet. Pastor G, I see you're looking in amazement. You see, the problem with the church is we don't believe the scripture. Everybody say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Now, in closing, I'm probably going to talk about it next week also, but I have a scripture. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 15. Incidentally, as God will have, this was my personal Bible reading, I think either today or yesterday. This is Deuteronomy chapter 15. This is the chapter on the Shemitah year. You know, Shemitah just means release. Deuteronomy chapter 15. We're going to close soon. How many people are enjoying the message? My God, the prosperity, you will enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Lao Lu is laughing. They like prosperity message. Jesha people, they like prosperity. Praise the Lord. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 15. And because of time, I'm just going to zero in on the specific scriptures I want. I could read a lot of things, but I'm going to read from verses 4 through 7. The King James is a little bit blind. I will read the King James in verse 4. Then you will give the King James to me. You give me the Amplified as well as the New International Version of this verse 4. This verse 4 is a very important verse. This is in the Old Testament, Pastor Wally. And sadly, and regrettably, Israel didn't fulfill it. They fulfilled it a little bit under Solomon and David, but it wasn't complete. And the Bible says, not one jot or tittle shall fail until all be fulfilled. So this has to be fulfilled. And guess who God is trusting is going to enable to fulfill it? You and I, this end time church. We haven't seen money yet. Not even by, all we see now is, you know, we have a few hundred million naira, you know, maybe 1 or 2 billion. You know, that's not money. It's money, don't misunderstand me, relatively. But, you know, When you know, now governments are beginning talking trillions. You know, I can relate because I grew up, you know, I was born in 1959, so I grew up in the second half of the 20th century, you know, and we saw wealth grow. Pastor Greg, I will remember that when we were in our teens, the richest guys in the world were two men. One was called Paul Getty, and the other guy was called Aristotle Onassis. It was Onassis that married John F. Kennedy's widow, Jackie Kennedy. You know, that's how rich he was. I mean, not anybody can marry John F. Kennedy's widow. The Kennedys, too, were very rich. You know, and these guys, you know, Onassis. Onassis was in shipping. You know, he had a lot of money in shipping. Getty was oil. You know, he was a millionaire. By then, he was 24. You know, he had something from his dad, you know, his family. They struck oil, you know, back in America in the early 1930s. So, he made a lot of money. You know. But you know how much Paul Getty had? 100 million. And how much honest he's had? I'm talking about this 1976. 1970, yes, 75, 76, 77. These are the richest guys in the world. You know, they had 100 million. Everyone said, so we have a lot of money and all of that. They were greatly respected and all of that. Meanwhile, there were two small boys who are about 2 or 3 years older than me who are thinking of how to put a computer on a desk. One's name was Bill Gates. The other guy's name was Steve Jobs. We didn't know such a thing was even possible. Fast forward to 1981, 82, 83, 84, 85, what we call the microcomputer industry revolution. These boys, you know, and others, you know, created computers that you can put on your desk. Never heard of before. And they created a new realm of wealth that had never been seen, that completely dwarfed everything that people like Paul Getty and Aristotle Onassis had. Bill Gates, today, Bill Gates is worth about 100 and something billion. When he first started, you know, I still remember, you know, the mid-80s into the early 90s when Windows came and dominated everything, you know. And then there was Apple. He had some problems. Bill Gates helped him. You know, anyway, they all came up. You know, they had 30 billion. And they were, richest guys in the world. We didn't know the day was coming when 30 billion would not be the richest. Today, Elon Musk is 300 billion. Apple has now a value of I'm not talking about individual now, the company, of a trillion. I'm talking about USD. But you know, they still haven't scratched the surface. You see, you know what I discovered? Riches or poverty is all in the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart. See, if to you, in your thinking, you know, 1 billion is a lot of money, then that's what it is to you. I don't have a billion yet. Well, at least not in cash. You know, in assets, yes. You know, but to me, it's not money yet. My needs are met. I have food, I have raiment, I have a nice car, house, send my children to school. But I know that's not where I'm going. This is where God is taking the church. And therefore, our mentality must change from the mentality of a church mouse. I gave that historical overview to help you to see how things are metamorphizing, how things are changing, evolving with time. What we thought was money in the 70s, today if you have 100 million, you can't even enter Forbes 500. You will be rich, oh. You have a nice house, you have a car, you have, you know. You might even, you know, if you use a lot of your money, you can even buy a private jet. Some private jets are about $50 million. You still can buy one. You know. But you're still not rich. Relatively. So you know what God said? Verse 4. Save when there shall be no poor among you. For the Lord shall just bless you, shall. Everybody scream that word. I've discovered the Bible is a precise book. That adjective is there to describe the kind of blessing. He didn't say the Lord will just slightly bless you. He said the Lord will surely greatly, scream it, bless thee. Where? In the land. With the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess. He's talking about today. It's how readest thou? Not what readest thou. Today, he's talking about perfection. The promised land of the New Testament is the land of perfection. Not heaven. Perfection. Only. No, I said I was going to do that. Now, this verse 4, give it to me in the Amplified Bible. First, then in the New International. There's so many other translations, but those two. But there will be no poor among you. Is this a joke? When the church gets where it should get to, everybody in the church will be rich. He said, there will be no poor amongst us. He didn't say we won't have poor. He said, it will not be amongst us. He's talking about Zion. I preached this message in 2011. Zion prosperity. He said, amongst us. Pastor G. Can we believe? Oh, God help my unbelief. For the Lord shall surely bless you in the land which the Lord gives you. Give it to me. Give me New International Version. I like this. However, there should be no poor. I like this better. Because see, what God is saying is that the kind of blessing I'm going to give the church, there shouldn't be anybody in the church that is poor. There should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess you for inheritance, he will what? Richly. The other King James said, greatly. Same thing. The church hasn't seen this yet. And the reason why we haven't seen it is because we have not put spiritual prosperity on the same priority as material prosperity. We've thought prosperity is money. It's not. It's wisdom and power. I'm going to close soon. But I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying the message. Verse 5. Only if thou carefully. Everybody say carefully. In that place, you say diligently. So that's the problem. The church doesn't do this. We don't do it carefully. We don't do it diligently. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments, which are commandments which you can summarize in love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. For the Lord thy God blessed thee as he had promised thee. Oh, I like this. I like this verse 6 and verse 7. You know what he says? These are scriptures. I personally, Olubi Johnson, I believe it. I read them years ago. I remember something I learned from E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon said one day, one of his books he was writing, he said one day he sat down in his house. Then he opened the Bible. And then he went through some of these promises. And then he thought about them and what they meant. And he said, I trembled. He said, because if this thing is true, then there's something wrong with us. This is one of those kind of scriptures. Over the years, I have read the scripture. I've sat down with it and then read it slowly, meditatively, and believing. And it has stayed in my heart and is still in my heart. I like what Jesus said. He said, the scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle will pass from this law until some, all be fulfilled. This is going to be fulfilled. Israel didn't fulfill it to any great degree. Till today, the church has not fulfilled it. So I know there's no rapture tomorrow. We're not going anywhere until we fulfilled all the scripture. I'll give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Ah, glory, hallelujah. I'm not talking to anybody here. I am so excited. For the Lord thy God, blessed thee, as he has promised thee, not as you think, not as your poverty, church rat mentality, you know. No, as he has promised. And we saw that promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Having all sufficiency in all things. That's how he promised us. And, you see, when God blesses us to the level of that promise, thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt reign over many nations, and they shall not reign over thee. Have you heard the scripture which says that the borrower is a servant to the lender? That's what it means. When the church, a local church like Scripture Pasture, can lend to the World Bank, the hour is coming and now is. Why? Because we'll be creating wealth. Do you know, I just use as an example, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, they can lend to banks. They have enough. Bill Gates, the other day, they wanted to buy Twitter. Everybody started jumping. Everybody started getting, you know, jittery. Elon Musk, rather. You know? And what's he going to buy for $40 billion? The guy's worth $300 billion. $40 billion is not a big deal. Can buy it. If he says tomorrow, if Elon Musk, if he goes on his Twitter, and he does that sometimes, and talks about Bitcoin, the market will go... One man, he can say, oh, I love Nigeria. I'm not saying he will. I'm saying he can. You know, oh, they're having problems. You know, oh, Nigeria, here's $20 billion to sort out some of your problems. You'll tell the World Bank, give it to them. I'll stand as their guarantor. Overnight, all your problems, some of your problems will disappear. That's where God wants the church to be. Not, well, I'm just using him because it's an example of somebody who has quite a bit of money. But we're going to far exceed that. Yeah. The kind of prosperity that is coming isn't going to be in the trillions. And then the quadzillions. You don't know what that means. A trillion is 10 to power 12. A billion is 10 to power 9. A million is 10 to power 6. A million is 1,000,000. A billion is 1,000,000,000. A trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. A quadzillion is 1,000,000,000,000,000. It's 10 to power 15. And it's still the lower bottom. There's still 10 to power 20. There's 10 to power 30. That kind of money can never finish. If you gave to all the countries of the world, and you say, okay, Japan, you can have 1 trillion. Nigeria, you can have 1 trillion. Germany, you can have 1 trillion. You won't touch the money if you have a quadzillion. Pastor Wiley is shaking his head. You know, the mind is going like this. And the truth about the matter is that if you do not have revelation knowledge, and God doesn't enlighten your understanding, you can't believe this thing. The carnal man, he can't begin to find. But that's what he meant. Stand to your feet. We're going to close. This is what God is talking about. The two key things for it, wisdom and power. And they're in the heavens. Every time you give, like you going to pay your tithes and your offerings tonight, there's a deposit in your heavenly account, not of cash, of wisdom and ability, but it is only accessible by prayer. God has tied it. He's locked it. You have to open the heavens, prayer. You know, pray in tongues. You begin to speak mysteries. the wisdom of that prosperity, then the power to be able to do the right thing, right place, right people, right time, and create wealth. There, for so many years, a lot of ideas have been buzzing in my head. But you know, it's one thing to have an idea, another thing to translate it into reality. And to translate idea into reality needs money. It needs resources. You know, there's so many solutions to problems. I was reading about one great man today, an American. He's 94 years old now. He invented lithium-ion battery. He's 94. He still goes to the lab every day. You know, they've just invented a new battery now that's going to help solar cells and all things to produce about, the efficiency go to about 3 times. For my PhD, I did something in solar energy research, you know, and I have some ideas. But I know that those things, they cannot become reality unless you have the resources. You have to have resources in R&D, that's research and development. You've got to have a stable environment where you can work. You've got to employ people. You may have a great idea. You know, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, you know. And then there are 3 levels. There's theory, which you do physics and, you know, maths and all of that. You know, then there's lab. You do something in the lab and it actually works. Then there's industry. It's completely different. You know, at the industrial level, you now have to get a place where you can manufacture it. And then at a level of commercial level, where it can sell in the market. Each is a quantum leap that requires the wisdom of God. We're going to get there. Let's talk to God. You're enough for one night. Your head is already spinning. God will have mercy. Hallelujah. I got a word. I got a song I'd like us to sing. It's Pastor Wiley who gave us this song. One of the best prosperity songs I've ever heard. I'm blessed with the blessing of Jacob.
We are blessed with the blessings of our father Jacob by a well.
Where a very fruitful bough.
We are blessed
with the blessings of our father Jacob
by a well.
Where a very fruitful
bough.
We are blessed.
We are blessed
from heaven above.
Oh,
glory to God.
Blessed of the breast and of the womb. We are blessed beyond the blessings of our father.
We are blessed.
We are blessed
with the blessings of our father Jacob by a well. Where a very
just stop a minute. We're going to continue singing in a minute. You know, it was E.W. King, and I learned this also from. Many times, you know, in the church, we're so religious and traditional. We sing songs, we don't know what they mean. We repeat it like parrots. He said, are we using spiritual expressions that have no inner meaning to our consciousness? What does this chorus mean? Give me the first line. We are blessed with the blessings of Father Jacob by a well with very fruitful bough. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the blessing of Abraham. Look at the Jewish race. And the Jews is natural blessing. Do you understand? The Bible says we have better promises, a better testament established upon better promises. We must outstrip what the Jews have done in every area before the rapture, so that the scripture will be fulfilled.
a well. That well is the well of life. A bough is a branch. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Very fruitful. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience. This is the key to prosperity.
Next line. The next line. We are blessed, what I've just been preaching tonight, from heaven above. My treasure is not here. It's stored in the heavens.
And with blessings of the deep that lies underneath. Oil.
You know, let me just... It was Kenneth Copeland I heard say this years and years and years ago. And it struck me. He said, I don't know what's gone wrong. He said, but we need to pray. The blessing should be under Israel, not under Ishmael.
The blessing is under Ishmael. Ishmael are the sons of, you know, Ishmael, the other son of... God actually said he was going to bless them.
So God fulfilled that word. He said, I will bless them, making a great nation. But we should have more resources under Israel rather than under Ishmael. Ishmael will be blessed, but Israel should be more blessed.
And you know, the Jews are beginning to get oil. Oh yeah. They just made a retreat now between Lebanon.
So there's an oil field, you know, in the Mediterranean Sea. And there's a part that is now for Israel. And there's a part, as I heard, scriptures coming, you know. I said the scriptures are coming to be fulfilled, not to talk of the church. You know, that's natural Israel. What of spiritual Israel? The blessings of the deep is not just oil. Manganese. Gold. The blessings of the deep. We haven't even begun to fathom what is under the deep. Nekato Fredegara.
I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Amen.
We're blessed of the breast and of the womb. You know God's name is El Shaddai.
The breast you are.
The womb. Spirit. When you pray in the spirit and you groan, that's where your blessing is coming from. It's coming from God. For it is He that giveth thee power to get well. Blessed beyond the blessing of our fathers could never have dreamt. My dad, your dad, in heaven now, they could never dream of the kind of blessings God is going to give us. Blessed beyond the blessings of our fathers. Now sing it, choir. We are blessed.
We are blessed with the blessings of our Father Jacob. By a well, where a very fruitful bough.
We are blessed.
We are blessed with the blessings of our Father Jacob. By a well, where a very we are blessed,
glory to God,
from heaven above, and with blessings of the deep that lieth underneath. We are blessed from the breast and of the womb.
We are blessed
beyond the blessings of above.
Your heart, put the other hand up. We're just going to pray, and then we'll just do short praise and worship and close the service. This is one of the most important messages that God is passing across to the church in this end time. The work we have to do cannot be done with the kind of money we have now. We have some money, but it's not enough. Not nearly enough. And we're not only doing just for the work, we're also the blessing of humanity. Imagine a church like Scripture Pastor and there's no poor among us. Not one. Poor will come on because
People don't get born again. They come get born again. They come every Sunday. So we'll have Paul amongst, we'll have Paul with us, but not amongst us. The big difference, you get on the road in Songo there, you have poor people. The people, they'll be poor with us, but there'll be no poor among us. Believest thou this? Jesus asked Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? There shall be no poor amongst us. Believest thou this? Let's talk to God. Say, Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you because you love us. You care for us as your children. And you take care of us materially and financially. You've told us we shouldn't worry. That you know what we have need even before we ask. We thank you for giving us your word that shows us that the treasure we have is not in the earth, it's in the heavens. And it's the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, treasures of power, so that we can create wealth anytime we need it here on earth and have so much of it that we have all sufficiency in all things and are bound to every good work. Oh God, help my unbelief. Father, I confess my sin of unbelief, where I haven't believed your word as I should concerning this prosperity issue. Help me, Lord. Help my unbelief. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive fresh life into my spirit in great and sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I pray for a fresh personal revelation of this wealth, creative wealth that comes through your wisdom, your power, and your righteousness. Show it to me and then help me practice it in Jesus' name. Nika tolo moshaka tofrede, lambrika tofredesk. Father, thank you. Zalabrika tolo motolo motofredesk. Lord Jesus, aprika tolo motofredesk. Lord Holy Ghost, apridiklo motofreshe. Thank you for your blood, labrika tofredesk. Thank you for your life, rakatoshka fre, lambrika tofredesk. Thank you for your power, nika tolo motofrede, umbraga, jeleprotofredes. Tokromatolos, tolomatofres, tokromatolomatofre, tokromatofres, tokromatolomatofredo freshe, zeke, nangakromatolos, tolomatofres, tolomatofres, tokromatolos, so tokromatofres, lamberka kromatolos, tokromatolomatofre, zofredi, rikitofrene, umbras, shelaberka kromatolomatofre, lamberka kromatos, nambrades, tolomatofres. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, I'm going to pray for you now. Just stretch forth your hands. If you're here, if you are home, stretch your hand towards your device. You know, you can't make money if you're sick. See, I now see the wisdom of God. The whole thing is all tied together, Prof. Healing and health is part of prosperity. If I'm sick or I'm weak, can I think? Can I work in a lab? Can I work in a factory? Can I create goods? Oh. So your health is an integral part of your prosperity. Hence he says, beloved, I wish above all. That's the correct thing is, I pray, I desire. This is God talking through the Holy Spirit, through John. I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers. Be thou made whole. I release God's healing power into your physical body now in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt. I cast you out, destroy your works with this and bind you. I loose the angels of God with the seven spirits of God to minister healing to your mind, soundness of body in Jesus' name.